Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
I want to talk to you today, all campuses, about this incredible thing called your spiritual gifts. Each and every one of us have a gifting from God, and you have that gift from God for a reason. Jesus was put in a unique scenario one night where he came in and he walks in and everybody's having dinner. And back then everybody sat on the floor, and so they weren't wearing shoes, and obviously there were no automobiles. So the form of transportation was horses. And some of y'all know the pollution of the day was different. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So on the way there, your feet kind of got messed up by stuff. And so Jesus came, and all their feet are pretty close up to their head by the dinner table. And Jesus comes in, and he's not going to avoid the elephant in the room. In other words, Jesus looks at this and says, there's a problem. I need to address the problem. So he picks up the servant's towel, and he begins to try to wash their feet. Well, immediately Peter, I mean, y'all kind of in the Bible, Peter reminds me of me. He's got a big mouth. Anybody in here? Come on, raise your hand. Just go ahead and raise your hand if you're like, yeah, he reminds me of you too, Pastor David. He's got a big mouth. Okay. So he's got this big mouth, and immediately he says, no, you can't do that. In other words, I'll pick up the towel and do that. Jesus is like, no, I want to model for you what the spiritual gifts are, which is when you've done the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so Jesus picks up the towel and he begins to wash their feet. He begins to serve. I'm talking about the spotless Son of God. I'm talking about the only one who could actually redeem us, revive us, and restore us. This is Jesus, but he demonstrates humility by picking up the towel and doing something nobody else wants to do. Now, everybody wants the stage, and I watch young leaders do this all the time. They're like, how do I become a preacher? How do I get on stage like you? And it's always kind of funny. In other words, they want to be seen by people, but they don't want to do that which is not seen. Can I get an amen? Come on, somebody. Sunset Hills ought to go with me. Somebody ought to clap right now. In other words, what you do in the secret is revealed in the light. Jesus didn't have a big 5,000 crowd there. It was just his 12 disciples, and he knew one of them was Judas, which, by the way, is a whole different sermon that I'd love to preach sometime. But how many of y'all like me, and you would have had a problem being nice and worshiping at the foot of the guy that you're like, and you are going to hose me. Come on, who am I talking to right now? Jesus, again, is always teaching us. So Jesus is picking up the towel, and he's doing that which is secret, modeling for us that we should be our brother's keeper, that we should do something with our spiritual gift. And everybody wants the stage. Everybody wants to be seen. But God oftentimes will ask you to do something behind the scenes, just like Veterans Day this weekend. You know, all these people who are up standing today, they don't go into Walmart and people clap for them. They don't go to Target and people clap for them. Come on, I'm trying to get a rise. Okay, Nordstrom's and they clap for them. Okay, they don't do that. But they were doing something behind the scenes, honorable, using their service to our country for the safety of us. My hand is different than my foot. The Bible says that we are the body of Christ. God teaches us about how the church works and how his kingdom works on our body. So this morning when I went to put on my wedding ring, my foot said to me, I never really get to wear a ring. Now, the girls in the house got a toe ring. Who I got a toe ring? Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody with a toe ring. Raise your hand, you got a toe ring. Y'all are like, I ain't falling for that. I don't know what you're going to do right now. Nothing wrong. Got a toe ring. If I was a girl, I would wear a toe ring, and I would get a mani-pedi every day. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. And I just want to lose my man card right now and say, my wife makes me do that. Go with her. So it's our quality time, and I'm sitting there, which is embarrassing because I have a really crazy little toe that I'm ashamed of. But my foot could say, I don't get attention. The hand gets to do this. The hand gets to preach. The hand got the towel. Look at all the FaceTime the hand got. But it would certainly be awkward today if I said, okay, you win. So I'm actually going to put my wedding ring on my foot. and I'm going to walk around. Come on, Sunset Hills, go with me on this. So my hip is going to experience pain eventually because this guy insists on, hey, I really want to be seen. So I'm out in the hallway shaking your hand. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. How many of y'all don't want to shake this hand? Raise your hand. You guys are weird. You're like, I do? It's weird. Okay. But this is what happens when you try to be and do something that you're not called to be and do. So if you're called to serve behind the scenes, then don't be always jockeying for the stage. Not everybody can get the stage. In fact, I tell young leaders this all the time. This part that I do for 30 minutes is relatively small compared to what I do for like 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. What I do under the scene, under the table, what I do behind the scene, I'm always picking up the towel to make a difference, and that makes you faithful over the little so God can make you ruler over the much, and you're not demanding. Somebody ought to help me right now. I can hear you. This is awkward. But you've got to be you. Everybody shout it. I got to be me. Now, of course, I'll be shaking hands at the end of this service. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. It says that these are the diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in them all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given each one to profit. For one is given the word of wisdom, through another the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith, but the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another this kind of tongues and interpretation of tongues, but it is the same Spirit. Everybody shout, the same Spirit. That works all of these things, check this out, distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body, shout that, the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the body being many are one body. Again, God is saying, hey, you have a different spiritual gift than I have. Now, I have a question for you, all campuses. How many of y'all, you would have a panic attack if I asked you to come up here right now and finish this sermon? Raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to come finish this sermon. Come on. Because that's not your gift. But you might have the gift of organization. Clearly don't have that. You might have the gift of administration. You might have the gift of something drives you crazy. Like, it drives me crazy when there are typos in the bulletin. Your misery is your ministry. I want you to write that down. Your misery is your ministry. Somebody ought to tweet that. Your misery is your ministry. It drives me crazy when the sound does this. Your misery is your ministry. When you can see it and you can solve it, then you are the person who is called to resolve it. I just made that up, and that is totally a wrap, and I'm going to... Come on. You ought to give me a hand, my God, people. You got a rapper for a pastor. I'm not even going to try to do it again because I can't remember what I said. Please tweet it. It's a gift. Come on, somebody. So you and I have to discover our spiritual gift, and then we have to use the gift. So if you have this gift or that gift and it drives you crazy, it is a blessing and a curse to see everything. I can walk into a room and I see everything that's wrong. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? I don't even oftentimes discover what is right in a service. I just find the 10 things that is wrong in the service because on Monday we need to talk about how to improve it. But if I'm not cautious, it can be somewhat debilitating to me, my vibe, and the vibe of my team if I don't kind of say, hey, hang on a minute, let's throttle back. Who am I talking to right now? But it is a gift that God gave me to have church on a 5-star level, but it happens, I can't turn it off. So I can walk into a restaurant and go, lights out, trash is full. I walked into IHOP yesterday. Let's just thank God. God, we thank you for IHOP. It's an amazing thing that you did. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. I thank you, God, that you gave somebody an idea to put chocolate chips inside a pancake. Oh, God, good. And I had that yesterday. Go to IHOP, get the chocolate chip pancakes. If you don't get anything out of my sermon today, that will bless you. You will get the gift of tongues right in the middle of yarr. Okay. So now when I walked into IHOP, I noticed landscape's a mess, handwritten sign, our hours of operation, they just went to the hardware store and put it up. I'm not even trying to notice this. I didn't even talk about it. I just remember now what I saw. Floor was a mess. Sit down. That was good. Food was incredible. Went to the bathroom and thought, if the kitchen looks anything like this, God, I forgot to pray. God, if I eat any deadly thing, I got to ask you right now in the name of Jesus. But how do you know if there's enough syrup on it, I think it's like an antibacterial thing. It kills it. Man, I'm preaching good today. I don't even know what I'm preaching about right now, but it is good. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. Come on, Sunset. But so here's the deal. We've all been given a gift. So my hand is different than my ear. My nose is different than my mouth. But they all have an important part to play in what I'm doing here right now. You have a spiritual gift, and God is looking at you and I to say, will you discover that spiritual gift? That's why growth track is so important. We're in week two right now. But growth track is important because there's 1 week in growth track that we designed to discover who you really are. Because oftentimes you don't really realize that your personality is different than the other person's personality, so marriages fail because you're trying to give somebody something that you would like, and they don't like that. Like Nicole, she's not a gifts person. She is a acts of service. So I can take out the trash for her or make her a cup of coffee and get the same amount of points as if I bought her a Louis bag. So, hey, don't hate me. But if I was trying to give her something that she didn't need, there's nothing worse than trying to give somebody something that they don't want and now they're starved for the thing that they need. I'm a words of affirmation person and physical touch, especially after 10 o'clock at night. Can I get amen with that right there? So, So you have to discover your potential and who you are and what ticked makes you tick and what ticks you off. So by finding out your spiritual gifts, then when you discover it, here's the key. When you get to the point that you discover what it is that God has made you special with, you have to use that bad boy. In other words, you have to pick up the towel and go, I don't just go to church, I grow in church, and I serve in church, because when you get to heaven, come on, go ahead, give God praise today. Okay, I want to hear you, Sunset. I want to hear you well. When you get to heaven, and how many of y'all want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. How many of you like me, and if there's a bus going today? Not today, but you do want to go. You want to hear these words. You want Jesus to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Not, well done, you awesome orator. You incredible singer. Because oftentimes when you do discover your purpose and your potential, if you don't find the place to play that out, then you live a life of misery. Nobody can sing better than Whitney Houston. And obviously that's horrible, but Spotify, you know what I'm saying. But she had a gift, but her gift took her to a place that was out of the grace in which, I'm rhyming again, come on, somebody ought to help me right now. And then it left her in a spot that she was miserable. So now she dies alone in the bathtub. You look at some of the greats, look at Prince. Look at Michael. Look at all these different people who were with us, but they had a gift, but their gift was misplaced. They were not using their spiritual gift, and they were not developing and deploying their spiritual gift for kingdom principles. So therefore, the world has a lie. Somebody ought to go with me on this right now. And it will suck you dry, and it'll keep you back, because you are meant for more. You are meant to be the body of Christ. So you can't just go to church with your spiritual gift. You've got to pick up the towel. And you got to shine the nursery. I don't want to do nursery. Okay, you might not like kids. Now we got to remember, you were a kid. I hate little kids. Oh, but you're good at greeting. So now you're the person that says, how you doing? You're good at the coffee ministry. There is a person here today, there is a person at each campus who God is tugging at your heart, and you've been wondering, what is the next level for me in business? What is, God, what's holding me back? Oftentimes, we're swerving because we're not serving. I didn't make that as another great rap, but I actually rapped that earlier in my career. In my, by the way, if you want to hashtag it, my rap name is White Chocolate. Come on, somebody. I'm not lying to you right now. Oh, yeah, come on. Come on, everybody shout, white chocolate.
White chocolate.
Come on, y'all, all campuses, shout again, white chocolate.
White chocolate.
My daughter-in-law gave me that a long time ago. But if you don't pick up the service towel, you can say, I want to be more like you. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I want to be you. I got a bracelet that says WWJD, and I know it doesn't stand for what would Joel do. I know it's for what would Jesus do. What would Jesus do right now? Jesus would pick up the towel and he would not avoid the elephant in the room. He would say, I'm going to be serving on the parking lot, and he is through Eric and others. He would be serving in the coffee ministry, and he is through Greg and others. He would be serving in the nursery. He would be serving in every area, because Jesus did not come, this is Bible, to be served, but he came to serve. Somebody ought to shout amen. So the miracle of your life is in the serving. If you wonder why you keep swerving, it's because you are not faithful. If you're faithful, you show up when you're sick. If you're faithful, you show up when it's raining. If you're faithful, you show up when it's good. If you're faithful, you show up when it's bad, and then your faithfulness kicks in, and then the faithful man shall abound in the blessing. Sure wish I had. We need less wishbone, more backbone to say, I have a spiritual gift, and I'm going to discover that spiritual gift, and I'm going to serve. So, what is your spiritual gift? You have to ask yourself, what do you do in real life? To experience peace with God, we need to use the gift that God gave us to bless others. Now, there's always exit ramps of disobedience. So when Katy Perry, anybody ever heard of her? Yeah. I kissed a girl and I liked it. I did too. Katy, her dad, her real name's Catherine, her dad, Keith Hudson, and my daddy were really good friends. So Keith was an evangelist, so he had nowhere to go because nobody wanted him, like from Thanksgiving on. So little Katy Perry and her sister and Mary and Keith, oftentimes they just live at our house. So here little Katy Perry's living in our house over in South County. They loved to go to Olive Garden, and we would go there. And nobody knew that Katy would be who she is today. She's just a little girl that you'd see in the nursery running around, just a little four-year-old girl sitting on my daddy's lap talking. And the Lord gave her a word of prophecy and said, and it didn't make sense to any of us at the time, you're going to have a gift to sing and to write music, and millions of people will hear you sing. Well, at the time, we thought somebody just prophesying. Anybody ever heard a word? And you're like, yeah, whatever. But how many of y'all have seen it happen to where millions and millions and millions of people say? Now, is she doing it all right? No, obviously. Because oftentimes your talent will take you to places, and the enemy will take the talent that God has given you and he will try to take it to the world. So here's what happens. My daughter's pretty talented. Like so talented that they want her in Hollywood. So some of the biggest people in Hollywood have said, let's take her. We want to mentor her. She's good enough for Hollywood. And I go, no. I tell her, some of the best people God saves for his church, the rest he sends to Hollywood. Come on, somebody ought to say amen right now. I'm getting kind of a weak clap from you because you don't know what's good for my daughter. I do. She's mine. We ain't sending her out here. And I'm not against Hollywood, but I am against the pathway that takes you from the towel that God gave you, the voice, to where when you sing, evil spirits are departed. And I believe that God can bless you here. I can believe that God will deliver you here. Somebody ought to help me right now. You can't do any better than what God's got for you. So each one of us should ask this question today. What is it that we are supposed to be doing with our gift? What is it? So when I was a young boy, again, with that passage of scripture that we just read a moment ago, it said to discover your gift, and your gift might be prophecy or whatever. Your gift might be different, because we all have different parts of the body. So my dad was the preacher, right? And I was like 12, 13 years old, and he started a church over in closer to the Sunset Hills campus. At a right now where Exist Fit is, in the basement was a place called Schuler's Hall, and it was a beer hall. And so every Sunday morning, me and my mama would get me up like at 4 a.m. in the morning, and she would say, wake up," and then she would get me up, and I was her helper, and we would go, and we'd take tables. There was like 4x8 tables everywhere, and it had big old things of beer on it, like the pitchers that was left over, and we would push around 50-gallon buckets, and we'd dump the beer in the buckets, dump the beer in the trash, get the 50-gallon, and then we'd haul it all away. Then we'd have to bust the table down, and I'd learn to lift it like this, click them, carry them over here, and we did that, just me and my mama, for a couple of years with no help. Then we'd get the church ready, and then the people would come in, and they would be blessed, and they would be healed. Now, we'd smell like beer everywhere, but they were worshiping this way, which was fine, but we oftentimes didn't get to worship this way. We worshiped this way. We were doing something. So now people look at me, and they go, how do you have the 8th most influential church in America? It was an overnight success. It sure was a long night. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. It didn't happen overnight. The faithfulness caught up to me because I surrounded myself with the gift that I had, which wasn't preaching and singing. It was the ability to flip beer into a container. It was the ability to sometimes clean up from an orgy that happened the night before. My mom had to talk with me due to condoms that was in the corner. Somebody ought to help me right now. So don't tell me that I don't know about church planning, because I do. Don't tell me that I don't know about serving, because I do. My family picked up the towel, and when we get to heaven, God will look at us and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now enter into the kingdom of God. Somebody ought to shout amen. But you have to develop and deploy your spiritual gift. How long will you sit and say, serve me, bless me, help me, deliver me, feed me? At some point, you got to get out of the high chair where we're going, come here and eat it. And you got to say, I'm going to move from the high chair to the big table. And I'm going to do like Jesus and surround myself with other people that I can bond up with. And I'll be the foot and you be the hand. I'll be the ear and you be the nose and I'll be the eyes. And together we make up the body of Christ to make a difference in the world. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise. Y'all wild today. And it's fun. Now, Matthew 25, verse 40, it says, and the king will answer and say unto them, assuredly I say unto thee, inasmuch as you've done unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. This is in red. This is Jesus speaking. The least of these. So when our street ministry goes to the street and gives out truckloads of blankets, and we do, when in these banner years, when we buy that ambulance for Haiti that I believe we're going to be able to do, people that were going to die get to go in the ambulance, and they would not get to go in the ambulance if you didn't have the gift of generosity. So when you have the gift of generosity, we'll never see the poor little Haitian that was going to die. So no sweat off our back. We didn't know them. But Jesus knew them. Jesus said, when you've done it on the least of these, you've done it unto me. When I think a few weeks ago when I heard of a story of a young lady who had three small children and was living in an abusive relationship, and her husband was beating her, so she left and went to an abused shelter for women here in St. Louis. And she heard about Faith Church, and she came to the Sunset Hills campus, and the people were out there with signs going, welcome, and we're happy to see you. That's a ministry. Then they walked into the Portico Cafe, and Greg Crane and the crew began to love on her and talk to her and give her coffee. And for a minute, this woman who was beat down started putting her head up. And her children, it felt like that they were not welcome anywhere. And they felt like, well, we just live in a shelter and nobody wants us. And a very confusing time for these young people. They felt love in the kids ministry where somebody was serving. And then she went to church and she felt the experience of the love of God. And then somebody told her, you know, we do have a Tuesday night service. And so she came back on Tuesday, and then some people told her, you know, she was so excited because it was one more night she didn't have to spend in the shelter. And then somebody said, on Thursday night, we have a serve night. Could I come to that? Yeah, we have potluck, and there's all kinds of food. In fact, I always go on Thursday night because it's one meal that I can solve my money problems with. Come on, somebody, you ought to help me right now. And so this woman started coming to all these events, and we were noticing that over just a two-week period that her smile was coming back, that life was coming back, that the kids felt value. When you've done it under the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. She had nothing to give this church. She had no money to give this church. All she had was a mess. But we take mess and we make messages out of it. We take testimonies that the enemy would have destroyed, and we surround together as a body of believers called Faith Church, and we build churches to change people's lives. And we don't say, I've got to be the foot and you got to put a ring on me and I got to be seen. If I got a parking lot spot, I'll do it. If I got on a stage, if I'm on the stage, I'll do it. Let's talk about pride a minute. God hates pride. You know why he hates pride? Because pride destroys you. I watch a lot of preachers destroyed because of pride. Pride makes you think that you're better than somebody else. Listen how I can sing. But are you humble? Will you pick up the towel? Oh, look at my ability to do this and that. I, you know, sometimes it's a curse to be pretty. Come on, y'all. Somebody had to go with it. Some people are like, I'm cursed. I'm really cursed. I'm so pretty. There's nothing wrong if God blessed you with good looks, but I've watched some people be blessed with good looks and they're so in love with themselves, they can never build a team because they're always posing how good looking they are. Their song is, how great I am. How great I am. I stand in all of me. It's a turnoff. But when you can be pretty and use your gift of being pretty for God, maybe he gave you the gift not to be pretty for the world, but to be pretty for Jesus. Somebody ought to help me right now. It's a good sermon, whether you like it or not. So you need to pick up the towel and say, hang on, when I've done it on the least of these, I've done it unto Jesus. So if Jesus were to come into the room right now, and he's here, but if you could physically see him, when you could see Jesus, you would see something happen on the inside of you that would make you want to more than anything, you would want to serve. More than anything, you would want to pick up the towel. More than anything, you'd be like, oh, Jesus, no, let me use my gift to help other people. But if your gift is only based in pride, and it's all about money, it gets whacked up. Let's talk about money for a minute. I get paid to do the wild thing. Yeah, I said it. I get paid to sing. I'll do it if I get paid. When you're really, really serving unto the Lord, you say, I got paid in advance. It was called breath and breeches. Somebody ought to shout amen. I got paid when God gave me the vision to do what he called me to do. I'm not serving for money. I'm serving because I have a heart for the house. Let's talk about heart for the house for a minute. When Jesus picked up that towel, he wasn't even trying to really make those guys feel bad. He just knew it needed to be done. Everybody shout, needed to be done. In other words, when you discover that it needs to be done, just do it. Then two, he was modeling behavior in which he wanted to replicate. He was modeling culture. Okay, so I'm the cultural architect of Faith Church. I'm going to talk to leaders for a minute. If you want to take the temperature of an organization, stick the thermometer in the leader's mouth. If the leader's friendly, the church will be friendly. If the leader's aloof, the church will be aloof. If the leader doesn't mind getting down and getting dirty, and that would be Nicole and I, then the church won't mind getting down and getting dirty. The staff won't mind getting down and getting dirty. Your organization is a direct reflection of who you are if you are in charge. Also, you can lead up, which is tough to lead up because this guy up here, it's tough to lead from that position, but you can lead where you're at by doing what's right because it's right in your organization, and they will discover your rightness and they will elevate you. It's called leading up. Somebody ought to help me go there right now. So people say, I'll do more when I get paid more. No, you do more and then you will get paid. That's like looking at a fire and go, if you give me heat, I'll give you wood. No, you give me wood, I'll give you heat. There is a sowing and there is a reaping in culture, in business, in marriage. Somebody ought to help me right now with your children. But at the end of the day, if you're going and serving during the week in the community, you're a doctor, you're a dentist, you're whatever, you do your deal, and you mostly do that for a paycheck. But you also must balance your life with a passion. Because if all you have is a paycheck, and you do this job, it gets boring. But if you come to church and you serve, and you do what God called you to do, and you use your gifts and talents for Him, and you're not getting paid at all, there's just something clean about it. And there's something that is not totally self-absorbed. Now, again, I want you to have a good job and I want you to make money, but I also want to make sure that we understand that Jesus in John 13, verse 3, He picked up the servant's towel. That's what I've been talking about. Let's read just a little bit. Jesus was fully aware that the Father had put everything into His hands. He got up from supper and He took off His garments, taking the servant's towel. Everybody shout, the servant's towel. He fastened it around His waist. He poured water into a wash basin. He began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the servant's towel, which He had girded. He picked it up. I want to encourage you at all campuses to read that passage and pray about what it is that God wants you to do at this church. God has put a call on our life to, when I was in Fenton, He told me to start a church in Earth City. Trust me, the people in Fenton gave me hell. I can't believe you're going to our city. You're leaving us. I just know you are. And I said, no, there's a car. This thing called a car. And we'll drive up there and I'll drive back. I just know you are. And then when we took them a tour through this building, because I had to ask them to pay for this because you didn't exist. And they walked around and they said, this is nice. This is too nice. Why would we want to give our money to go to a church we're not going to go to? And they kept pushing me and pushing me. So one day I put a high chair on the stage. And I shoved my big old butt up in that high chair and I shoved it down and I said, this is the way you people look. You come to church every week and you ask me to bless you, feed you, help you, and you're asking me to flip off. And I flipped them all off. You're asking me to flip off the entire community because you want a church to meet your needs and you want a church to be fancy for you. So you're either going with me or you're staying here, but God will provide my needs and I'm going with you. Come on, somebody ought to give me... And some of them straightened out, and some of them got out. And when they left, I said, good. Bye, Felicia. I needed your seat. And I came to our city, and we built it. And how many of y'all glad that we built a church for you and your family that you didn't know about? And then eventually, I asked you. I said, guys, I know you're never going to go to Sunset Hills. But there's a church that came available in Sunset Hills, and we could buy it for $7.7 million. And I need it because I'm preaching 9 times a weekend, and it's really killing me. I'm either going to start smoking crack or something's going to happen. People are like, I can't believe that preacher ran off of somebody. I can't believe that guy started smoking crack. Because people say, I only want to go to one service, and I don't know which one I want to go. I might want to go to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and wonder why people straight up cray-cray. You have to sometimes understand that church isn't about you, and you get the information however you can get it. Come on, somebody. And if you're getting the information, and you're serving at church, and you're saying, I can look at a screen anyway, because you all look at the screen, and you receive it, it was a growing process. And you guys did that, and you bought Sunset Hills. How many of y'all at Sunset Hills are grateful right now that we bought that building? Come on, here and there. Give it up for all the people who served and gave the Sunset. Now, some of the people at Earth City said, I don't want to help with that. We need a gym, and they'll have a gym, and we won't have a gym. That's so sad. I
I feel so bad for you. Your church ain't got a gym.
Do you see how immature this is? Now God's asking us, and he asked us to go to Weldon. And that's one of the reasons why I'm preaching everywhere this way today, because at 10:40, well, I'm going to preach at Weldon. I never really go out there necessarily on a live experience. It's a rare occasion. But today, I'm going there because it's growing so much. They have a second service, so I'm going to preach at the 10:40. We're going to have a huge after party with free food. And you know how I solve my money problems. Come on, somebody. You can join me over there if you want. 10:40. We built that church. Now God's asking us to build a church in the Ferguson-Florissant area. We got to do that. And I'm not necessarily asking for your money. God will send the money. Amen. I'm asking you to pick up the towel today and ask what you're supposed to do, starting now, to make a difference at your church. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody look around. How many of you would raise your hand and say, Pastor, this church has made a big difference in my life. I want God to see it. Raise your hand. Raise it high. I want to see it. All campuses right now. You can put it down. How many would say, for real, and not everybody's going to say yes to this because it's not true of everyone, but how many would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I don't even know if my life would resemble what it is right now at all if it hadn't been for this church? Raise your hand if that's you. Okay, you can put it down. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, to help me discover and deploy my spiritual gifts. And today is the day that I decide I want to be like you. I'm going to pick up the servant's towel and I'm going to at least serve one time a month. That's only 12 times a year. I will obey you and pick up the towel today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today if you love Him.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.